Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting you closer to the TV shows you love. I'm Ashley Ray, a comedian, writer, and former TV critic, and each week my friends, fellow comedians, actors, writers will drop by to dive into the best TV shows we're all talking about right now. All right, let's get into it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With chocolate treats mixed into dark chocolate ice cream, the Tillamook Chocolate Collection is a chocolate game changer. Because the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection Ice Cream. Extraordinary dairy.
Jordan Morris, welcome to TV Club. Jordan Morris is a television writer who's written for many shows on all the platforms, Max, Disney Plus, Comedy Central, creator and co-writer of the two-time Eisner-nominated graphic novel Bubble based on the Maximum Fun podcast he also created, and co-host of the Jordan Jesse Go podcast. I had to get it all out there. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Thank you. Yes, I'm excited. That intro got me pumped. I can't believe I've had such an impressive career.
You're so impressive. I just so many things. Come on. Two-time Eisner nominee. The people are trying to be like you. So I had to have you come on to talk TV.
I can't believe you got me.
People wanted to talk to me about TV 3 years. I still am always shocked. I'm always like, oh my goodness. And people are like, we all love it. It's what we do.
Yes. No, I am stoked. And I'll let you introduce the topic when you see fit. But this is one I'm stoked about.
We play by our own rules here at TVSA. We do our thing. But when we asked, you know, what you were watching, what you were doing, you said you were watching a lot of Peacock.
And
as listeners know, Peacock is my favorite streaming platform. I used to joke that it's like the little indie platform that could, because they just don't advertise their shows or anything they do. People would be like, Peacock? I thought that was a joke. And right. I would be like, no, they're really like underground. It's like a really tiny, just like independent streaming platform with some really great shows.
Yeah, I found out about it from a zine that I got at my local coffee shop. There was a flyer stapled to a telephone pole.
My teen niece was talking about it on TikTok, and I thought, well, I should check it out. And now people are finally seeing it's a slow build,
right?
But people are seeing the ability of Peacock. There was an article this week that Byron Allen like made an offer of $40 billion or something to buy Paramount Global.
Yeah. Wait, which Byron Allen, like, of Comics Unleashed?
Yeah. Which I was like,
let
Byron
him do it. Give
Allen,
it to him.
Give it to him. He has that kind of money.
That's
like,
wild.
Okay, didn't know that was pop, but sure, let's give it to him. And I was like, you know, I would make a $69 billion offer to own Peacock. That is the platform. What platform would you, if you had billions, what would you do?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, well, yeah, what would I do? Yeah, I mean, obviously, big Peacock head over here. But, like, let's bring back CISO. I mean, Peacock is, you know, Peacock, I think, is kind of CISO 2.0.
I think we can all, they got a lot of those CISO shows. They did.
They do, yes. There's big CISO energy flowing throughout Peacock. But, I mean, I think maybe, like, let's revive it as kind of a sub-brand. Maybe people will subscribe kind of, like, ironically, like, ha, 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 let's watch some CISO tonight. But I think we'll just cram it with some really good comedy. And...
Oh, yeah. You get all those, like, TBS comedies from early 2010s that, like, are so hard to stream anywhere. You get those on a CISO rebrand.
Yes.
You'd kill the game.
Yeah.
Every week. Every week on TV, I say we figure out the TV industry. We solve every crisis. And I'm like, why don't they listen to me?
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. So, yeah. I mean, you're the Byron Allen of your generation. I've always said.
Yeah. Thank you. You have.
And you do such a good job of setting comics up with very obvious layups to do their material.
Yeah, you know, you gotta help out. You gotta make it funny.
That's what I love about Byron. He's just like, so have you eaten any airline food recently? And then they just do an like, airline food joke.
So interesting. You should ask. What is he going to do with Paramount? Whatever. Give it
I
to
don't
him.
Know.
It'll be better than whatever they're doing now. At this point, I'm like, give all the streaming platforms to just whatever celebrity cares enough. I don't care. It's just as good.
He'll just be setting Tom Cruise up for stunts to do in Mission Impossible. It's like, so Tom, have you ever jumped a motorcycle off a train? And then we'll just see it happening.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about our favorite Peacock shows. What is making Peacock sort of that girl these days?
Yeah.
She really is that girl you want to have in your streaming lineup. We're going to get to that. But there's so much TV news this week that we have to discuss everything that's happening. First of all, I want to talk about this new thing with CBS. So CBS, the new president of their entertainment and TV, did an interview yesterday where CBS, the most traditional old school network, right, your grandmother still abides by it and understands primetime TV because of it. They have decided they are no longer doing pilot season.
Really? Which, I hadn't heard this.
Yeah, they just announced this yesterday, last week, as we're talking, as you're listening. But yeah, she basically is deciding to do the switch to year-round development, which some platforms have already done. ABC and Fox did this before the pandemic. And then during the pandemic, a lot of platforms took it on, and now some have stuck with it. CBS originally was like, we're going to go back to traditional. We're CBS. And now they're saying, no, we're doing year-round development. And CBS is buying zero pilots this year for like the first time in the history of CBS.
This ain't your grandma's CBS.
Not your grandma's CBS.
This is your old mom's CBS.
Although I will say they aren't buying new pilots because they have a lot of shows in development and shows that were supposed to air during the strike that didn't. And your grandma might recognize these shows because they are all spinoffs of current shows she probably loves on CBS. I thought she'd miss Young Sheldon. Don't worry. There's a spinoff coming.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
Yeah. Don't worry. Blue Bloods. There's a spinoff coming. Don't you dare worry. They're not taking risks with new content.
Biles, maybe? I like another bodily fluid.
That should, yeah. And it's a crooked family that runs a hospital.
I love it. I love it. They're just selling bile.
Yeah.
I've heard of the black market, but the blue market? I don't know.
Yeah. But, obviously TV writers are freaking out about this. Everyone is like, this is a major shift in the industry. If CBS can do this, what even is linear traditional TV anymore?
Totally.
Well, how are you feeling? How do you feel about this news I just told you about? Have a full opinion on it right now. Go.
Oh, my gosh. Wild. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I know a lot of people in our biz, like writing a pilot can be like a big deal, you know, like, you know, you can, if you're a person I won't assume what your zone is, but if someone in my zone, like, you can make your year writing a pilot like that.
Yeah.
You know, that'll do it. That'll keep the health insurance going. So I guess, you know, from a working writer's point of view, like, I hope that there's a way to make money. But I hope I can make money.
I mean, some people are saying it feels like a punishment for the strike that you know, they're taking away these traditional things writers could rely on to go to this year-round system, which has no guarantees. They could, and there are some benefits, I think, instead of a show needing to make a pilot and being, you know, being bought on a pilot, a show can instead go into development, or they might start a room to get additional ideas. It could help these shows grow, but we know they're not going to like take a risk on some thing. They're going to use it to make NCIS like on Mars or something. Like it's just gonna. Right. I don't know, but
yeah, you would like to think that maybe this is a the start of a CBS that would like take some more chances, do stuff that's not NCIS and Sheldon related. But yeah, they probably won't. It'll probably just be, you know, a way to milk those shows. You know, I guess you know, looking at bigger trends, I guess it would be nice if like shows that get developed have a better chance of getting on the air. As you know, as folks in our zone know, like it's such a long shot for anything to go from, you know, let alone bought to bought and on the air. So maybe this is a world where people are being a little more choosy with what they buy. And if they buy something, it's more likely to get onto the air. But I don't trust those executives as far as I can throw them. So this is probably bad.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they'd make any changes that actually would help writers at this point. But we'll see.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. I'm like, sure. Yeah.
Funny picket signs. So we're going to help you out.
We're going to do year-round development just all the time, having new shows or, you know, old shows that we developed already. But
hey, you guys love making show Bibles and lookbooks, right?
You guys love that. It's going to be that all the time now.
You guys love compiling tone comps? Yeah, the most fucking annoying part of professional writing.
I love when I finish writing and I get to make a corporate deck.
God, I know, right?
Summarizing the creative thing I just wrote. I love this.
It's the best.
I love what we do.
Truly the greatest
it's
business.
The best.
We're so lucky.
We
are. You know, we can complain too.
Yeah, we can. There is some good news in TV this week,
too. Okay, I'd love to hear some good news.
I don't know if you watch this show, but Hijack on Apple TV.
Ooh, Hijack is on my to-watch list, and partially because you've been so enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
Your enthusiasm is contagious about this show.
It's incredible.
Obviously, Idris Elba is a legend.
It's so, so good.
Get me stoked and get me stoked about the second season.
Okay, so here's the thing. If the Hijack is about a man on a plane.
Yeah.
It gets hijacked. He's a master negotiator and manages to like work the situation and make it cool. And just it's a big action thing. And then it ends and all the bad people are dealt with and Idris Elba is the hero. And so it's very what it could a second season be. Because if this man is getting hijacked again, that's wild.
If Liam Neeson's daughter can get kidnapped every couple of years.
I'm like, I want like Hijack cruise ship, Hijack road trip. I want him to get hijacked on the subway. I want him hijacked everywhere and anywhere. So I'm gonna watch, but I'm like, I actually think it would be really cool if they did like Hijack Train or they do a plane again and it's all the same people who were on the plane the first time. I think like you bring back, that's the twit. You bring back the whole cast. People aren't going to expect that. Right. They're going to think he's getting hijacked new.
There's no way the same plane with the same people is going to get hijacked twice. Lightning does strike twice.
Yeah.
If it's hijack lightning.
No,
this is great. I love it. There's a lot of great vehicles out there. A lot of great, a lot of great vehicles would love to see Idris Elba in. I mean, you had a great pitch earlier for the NCIS franchise. Hijack Mars.
Mars. I will say that is already kind of a show. Hijacking Mars. You watch For All Mankind. I'm kind of happy this came up because I was like, we'll talk about the finale of For All Mankind. Didn't talk about it because I hated it. Basically, For All Mankind is this alternate historical universe where Russia lands on the moon before America. So everything is different. Women are astronauts in the 60s. We have a lesbian president in the 90s. It's like, what would happen? Oh, and all these planets are all these countries are like focused on space because now it's so possible. They build like a colony on the moon. And then from there, they go to Mars and like build a colony there. And eventually it all becomes about like capitalism where they're shipping like just poor people from Earth to these planets to like mine. And the workers start to revolt, blah, blah, blah. They have to get an asteroid that's passing Mars to send it to Earth because it's worth a lot of money because it's full of titanium. And the people of Mars decide they're going to hijack the asteroid and have it come to Mars instead of Earth. And they
maybe this is the start of an Apple TV Plus shared universe. Maybe Idris Elba on the asteroid and he needs help to stop the hijackers.
Oh,
what
my
better
gosh.
Help than an inspirational speech from Mr. Ted Lasso?
From Miss, oh my. And the timing works out because at this point they're in the future on that show.
Right.
So that works.
Yeah. Adam Scott, what are you doing here?
What are you doing?
I don't know.
I just woke up like this. Hijacked on Mars.
Oh. Frog Apple, and Toad, you're here too?
Apple TV, I'm willing to pitch all of these ideas in person.
That's great.
We're really killing it.
Into the Appleiverse.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When Tillamook ice cream beckons you to the freezer aisle, which irresistibly creamy flavor do you choose? While you're thinking, try not to fuck up the glass. Tillamook ice cream. Extraordinary dairy. TV, I
say. So I also wanted to talk about Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry David has announced... It's the final season. Yes. Oh, sorry. That was a quick pivot. We move.
We can pivot.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to pivot.
I'm light on my feet. Hit me with what you got.
Yeah. You took the turn and you went with it. You did. Larry David says it's the last season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he's absolutely fine with it. people think I'm lying and I'm so sad, but I really don't care.
I was a bazillionaire when I started this show.
Right. And it's been like, 15 something years?
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, Jeff Garlin in an interview said like at the final day of shooting, you know, everything wraps and everyone's clapping. And he like is crying and tears coming and he looks around and he's the only person crying.
That's funny. Everybody else is just cranky.
Everybody else
and
is like, yep, cool.
Complaining
okay,
about
done.
Craft service.
Yeah. Did you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? Are you a big fan?
Yeah, I watch Curb periodically. I think it has some great episodes, and I think it has some stinkers. I think Curb is kind of inconsistent, but when it's great, it is really, really
so
funny.
So good.
And you know, and obviously he's such a compelling character. A totally great TV character. I do think it has some, you know, kind of flabby episodes, and I don't always love that improv style. Sometimes I think that improv style, it just gets a little chaotic and doesn't really sound like how people talk. It's kind of it's kind of sweaty in a way that makes me a little stressed out. But that being said, I obviously like, you know, some of the funniest people in the world are on that show and they have some great episodes. They totally have. And their great episodes are really, really great.
It feels like one of those shows where you're shocked it's been on air this long. You're shocked that it has had the chance to make as many good episodes as it has. I think it will become just kind of a bigger cult hit in the future.
Yeah.
You know, I think even now people are kind of like, oh, Curb is still on. And I think in the future people will watch even the newer seasons, which people kind of fell off on. And I think they'll really appreciate it. I'm going to miss it. I've been watching it. I feel like that show debuted when I was in like high school or something.
Yeah. I mean, if you go back, I went back kind of recently and looked at just some early seasons and like, they look like they are shot on dad's camcorder.
Yes.
They look so janky. And I think it was a big deal that they were digitally shot. It was so like revolutionary.
It was truly the like beginning of HBO being like Dolby. Like, so like we have good stuff. Quality. Yeah. Oh, I feel old now.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I do think you're right. I think that I think it is, it, you know, it is in the zone of like new classic. I think, you know, they're starting to dump some of those HBO shows on Netflix. Like if that hit Netflix, yeah, I think it would be a weird thing where it's like Gen Z is getting into Curb.
That's why 100% is what is going to happen. And you just brought up actually two news things that I wanted to talk about that we can combine here. HBO has finally let down their walled garden. The place that was like, our shows are so beautiful and exclusive, we can't have them anywhere else, has finally said, okay, Netflix, you can have some of our super exclusive shows.
Right.
And they're getting Sex in the City, baby.
Woo-woo!
Sex in the City. We're about to see the world change because you know what? These young kids, that's how they're watching TV. They are using streaming platforms, obviously.
But they don't know who in their friend group is a Miranda. Now they can find
out. Now they're going to find out
who
because
in their friend group is the,
Miranda. Because an article just came out saying that Gen Z is watching... is watching bad TV, that Gen Z has an obsession with mediocre TV just because it has 22 episodes, like old 2010 shows, Suits, Grey's Anatomy. These shows have seen big resurgences, all because of streaming platforms with younger audiences. And I think Sex and the City is primed to blow up. It is. Oh, my God. The girls are gonna be in a tizzy and... But God bless you. Like, I was a teenager when Sex and the City came out, and we barely survived in the 2000s. And I don't know what is going to happen with these kids.
Is the next logical step Entourage? Is Entourage going to experience a moment?
Please, HBO, keep Entourage behind as many walls as you can. It's just not the right. Not now. Not in this climate.
Our society can't handle
it. You can't have Andrew Tate and Entourage possibly combining. That's like a hurricane and an earthquake.
Give it to me. I'll put it on my I'll put it on my revived CISO. No one will watch it.
No one will watch it.
The world will be a better place.
Safe. That's what sometimes needs to happen, okay? We got to just... Yeah, no, I mean, I'm already afraid for the girls who are going to watch Sex and the City. I don't even think the reboot got that many people into rewatching the old seasons.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, unless you'd already watched.
There was a reboot.
Okay.
I've heard the reboot's rough.
Yeah, but it's also probably the most important thing in my life.
You contain multitudes. You're a complex person.
Can't say I like it, but if I were to miss a single episode of it, I would want to destroy myself. Like I pray that I see the end of the show, and I'm obsessed.
It sounds like
with
you're
it.
Okay with that. It sounds like you're processing it. You're good. Yeah. It seems like you're in a good place with it.
I'm in a good place with it, but it's not good. But I like it. But now we're gonna see. I think a lot of people getting into Sex and the City. I hope it has a Suits bump.
Interesting.
You know,
Do you think like the fashion will come back? Because I know that show the time was a big fashion driver.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, the kids, they're already doing Y2K clothes.
Right.
I look on TikTok. I'm like, why do you look like you shop at like a Charlotte Russe? It looked like you came out of a wet seal. Like, where did you even find those clothes?
Why do you look like Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake on a red carpet?
Yeah. It's like, thrift stores, because people my age are old and donate those clothes now.
It's true.
Okay. That's all the TV news I wanted to get into. There's a lot happening that cancellations, all of this. I just want to take a break. I want to talk about a platform I love. Shows I love. And you know where that's happening? Peacock.
That's right. Ca-ca-ca! I don't know what sounds peacocks make.
I'm sure it's that one. Don't even fact check that.
It's kind of annoying. It's like rah, rah! It's like they have like an annoying call, right?
I'm trying to remember the episode of 30 Rock where he like inherits the peacock from Don Geiss.
Right.
And it falls in love with Kenneth. And there's a moment when it like is like trying to mate with Kenneth and it makes a horrible sound, but I can't remember the sound.
That's the sound us peacock fans
make to identify
each other in the wild.
Yeah. Cause every week we're getting just good stuff. Oh my, they got the hits over on Peacock. I want to know, what are you watching?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Peacock favorites. I really, really loved Killing It. I yes. think Killing It season one, very funny. Killing It season two, brilliant. I think Killing It season two, kind of its own thing. I think you should watch the whole thing, but Killing It season two is so good. It is like, it's like an anthology show about how capitalism crushes different people.
Yeah.
Each episode kind of, you know, it's about, I think if you're listening to the show, you probably know the premise. It is Craig Robinson and Claudia O'Doherty. They're two kind of like down and out scumbags who will do anything for a buck. In season two, they're trying to start a saw palmetto berry farm because they're like antioxidants or something like that.
Yeah.
And they just like have to deal with the world's shittiest people to get this thing off the ground. And as they're kind of moving through the world and like meeting all these people, you just learn about how, you know, capitalism has made us all insane. There's a great episode that's kind of standalone where they have to talk to a series of pit bull impersonators.
Oh, I was hoping you'd bring this episode up. One of my favorite episodes of television from like last year.
Totally.
So funny. Mr. Worldwide number five, and each pit bull is just a number. It's
awesome. And some of them so just look nothing like pit bull.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really great. So that's kind of the sense of humor. You know, you make it sound, I make it sound kind of highfalutin by saying it's like this big satire of capitalism. It is like very funny and goofy and joke dense.
It is like, it's Craig Robinson, Claudia O'Doherty, and Rel Battle is in it and really funny as Craig's brother.
He is great.
He's so good. And I really loved in the second season that they focused more on him. And I wanted to see that second season get more heat.
Yeah, I know. It's like one of those things. It's like, why aren't you dopes talking about this? And by you dopes, I mean everyone on the internet.
Everyone on the internet, yeah.
And come on.
It did sadly come out at the same time like that the strike had started.
Yeah,
so they couldn't really promote it the same way they wanted to.
Yeah, huge bummer.
But I'm telling you, all the indie comedy hits are on Peacock.
Yeah.
They're on this little streamer that could.
I know. From the, the spirit of CISO is alive and well. all your, and did you watch Paul T. Goldman?
Hell yeah, I watched Paul T. Goldman.
Paul T. Goldman.
Look, we forgot about this show too quickly. I think Jury Duty came in and people were like, oh my gosh, that's the like weird semi-reality documentary comedy show I want to talk about. Because Paul T. Goldman was too off-putting and weird and strange. But you know what? It was the first in that Jury Duty, The Curse. I feel like that was like what we got. And the Paul T. Goldman... Why did we stop talking about it? I still have so many questions and thoughts about that man.
I would love if they would just make a season of this a year. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to make all of Paul T. Goldman's movies. You can just catch up with him like they do those, you know, reality show reunion specials.
Yeah.
You could just have director Jason Wilner sit down with Paul T. Goldman and ask him questions off note cards.
Yeah, like, are you doing better? Have you started therapy? What's going on? Just checking in.
Did you make this whole thing because you have a cuckolding fetish?
Yeah, I truly do feel like a rewatch is needed. When it was out, everyone was talking about it, and it is really off-putting. It is hard to watch.
Sure. Yeah, it is weird, and there's a lot of like, what am I watching? But yeah, I think it's so rewarding if you can kind of like push through the weirdness and like have faith that it will pay off, because it really does. I think it really is saying something interesting about how like people make their own realities and how, you know, each person's reality is kind of their own, and it says that in I think a really interesting way. And he's the funniest, weirdest character who you don't always like, you know. And I think that I didn't watch all of Jury Duty, but you know, from what I gathered, like a big part of what people loved about that show,
slow down here.
I got a lot of hot takes, as you know. I've never seen The Bear guy.
Yeah,
I'm also I didn't finish Jury Duty guy.
You're the first person I've met who didn't finish it. Why not?
I liked it. I think maybe it even just like. Yeah, and it's one of those where I would like to go back. And, you know, like, obviously the James Marsden thing is so funny. Who knew that guy was so great? Maybe we all did. I don't know. Maybe I'm late to that.
I mean,
that
I loved him on 30 Rock. I was
he was good.
He's funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't, you know, maybe it was a matter of like coming out so close to Paul T. Goldman to where I kind of felt like, oh, that's the, like, you know, what do you give people to get off heroin? There's a drug you give people to get off heroin.
Methadone.
There you go. If yes,
it
if
is.
Jury Duty
yeah.
was the methadone. Paul T. Goldman was the pure uncut horse that I needed to make my jazz album.
Absolutely, because Jury Duty is very focused on doing the right thing and Ron, the main guy, be a good guy. Like, that's why he's chosen. That's why they do this, because he's a good guy in all these situations that. His responses are always just so thoughtful and blah, blah, blah. He wins money. Paul T. Goldman, no, maybe. No.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Is he about to yell at somebody? Is he about to say something misogynistic?
Right.
What's going to happen?
Sure. Yes. Is he about to blame an innocent person for sex trafficking?
Yeah. And then the director will join him and be like, am I even doing the right thing? Should I even be doing this?
Yeah, it is like a complicated show, and I absolutely understand that it is, you know, like, why maybe it was not the like super mainstream hit, but I totally loved it, and like there are some hysterical moments in that, some of the bigger laughs I've had at TV.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna do a rewatch. It deserves another.
I watched
go
it
around.
Twice. Yeah, it really really held up to a rewatch. I loved it.
Yeah, and it's the just kind of weird show you'd only find on a tiny little platform
on a
like
little
Peacock.
Indie. Yes,
just
exactly.
The A24 of TV platforms.
Just a bunch of executives in a garage making TV shows,
just making TV, just cooking in their dad's garage.
Exactly. It's like Fugazi. It's $5 a month.
He's trying to build something, man,
right,
for the people.
Yes.
I love those picks. I'm going to go with a new pick because I immediately fell in love with this show, watched it all in a day, was upset that I finished it so quickly. In the Know, which I'm going to search so I don't get any of the names wrong.
Yes. I've watched two episodes of this show. I actually watched one this morning while I was having my coffee. And
oh,
I
my
laughed
God.
My fucking ass off. That show is great. It's so funny.
In the Know, brought to us by Zach Woods, who you should just know from like everything, The Office, blah, blah, blah. And Mike Judge. It's like stop motion animation puppets. It's this parody of an NPR like station and like a Terry Gross like host.
Yeah.
And it's just taking on sort of like liberals, politics, everything, but in a way that actually felt funny. You know, I've watched some of those adult animated shows that try to like, let's also parody liberals, and they're usually horrible. But this one, I truly loved it.
Me too. It's really funny. And it was kind of a tough sell for me because just one of those things. I worked on a great show called Earth to Ned on Disney Plus.
Yes.
It was about a puppet who interviews celebrities.
Yeah.
Puppet brought to you by the geniuses at the Jim Henson Company. I thought it was a really special show and I really loved working on it. And it was one of those that just, you know, kind of, it wasn't a Marvel show. So they kind of dumped it and it didn't get a second season and then it got taken down. So it's like lost media. So I was like, oh, great. You know, here comes another, you know, puppet interview celebrity show.
I do want to say I watched all of Earth to Ned because one of the writers tweeted about it coming down. So I was like, this is my last chance to watch it. I loved it. Oh, absolutely a mistake.
Good.
It was taken down. But I do see the parallel here. In the Know, the annoying Terry Gross character whose name is Lauren or something. It's a girl's name.
Yeah.
Like Leslie. Lauren Caspian.
Yes.
There we go. Lauren Caspian is a puppet, but he interviews real celebrities like over video chat. So it'll be like him interviewing JVN from Queer Eye, which was my favorite one.
So funny. Yeah, they're so funny in the episode. They play along so well.
So well. Like, there's a later one that I don't want to spoil, but there's like Tegan and Sarah, and that was probably my favorite. They have Nicole Byers join. It's
great.
yeah, it's so worth it. And the comedy is really sharp. You know, I think people, I haven't seen people really talking about it, but it is good in getting good reviews. Also, it has J. Smith Cameron and Carl Tart in this like very flirty dynamic that is so funny and sexy. I really love it for them.
It is. And I think Carl's great in this. It's such a like it's interesting casting. It's not the kind of character you've seen him play in other things. Very low key. He's like kind of a dorky dad. He's very soft spoken. He has the NPR voice and he is hysterical. And like, and yeah, his chemistry with the producer, I forget the name of the character and the actor, but the chemistry is there. And, you know, I think that character and Carl are doing something really important on this show, which is like having someone to root for because the main character, the Zach
you
Woods character, is such a fucking asshole.
He's really the joke. And then you start to see like everyone else is like kind of a little family, and it has heart to it. It really does have that King of the Hill just vibe where you want to sit with these people and just live in their world.
Totally.
It's great.
I love it. Yeah. I'm two episodes deep. I can't wait to finish.
But like I truly watched it all in a day, and it's also a weird episode count. I think it's only like 7 episodes or something, or maybe 6, but I was just like I needed 12. I needed this juicy, beautiful season on Fox on a Sunday, put it in the animation domination lineup, and everyone would be talking about this.
Throw it on after Family Guy. That would be fun.
Yeah. You know, or Crapopolis. I'm
sure.
I watch that one.
I haven't seen Crapopolis yet.
It's
all right.
You know, it's okay. It's fine in its voice and its footing, and there are some jokes that really do make me laugh. And you know, it's good.
I'll give it a shot.
I'm getting there. It isn't up to like the Great North or a Bob's Burgers yet, but you know, it's a interesting concept. Yeah. So they have to do a little more world building.
Okay, you got to give stuff time. Again, I think you know, Killing It is a great example of like, like that first season is very funny, and that second season is a fucking home run. So, just a great example of like, hey, you got to let these shows breathe sometimes, and you know, you got to let them figure stuff out, and and then you get something awesome.
Yeah, crap, it's breathing, it's breathing. What else is on your Peacock list?
So I know this is a zone that you really, really like. And I know this is leaving Peacock, but obviously the real ones know that it started on Peacock. Girls 5 Eva.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Girls 5 Eva is so funny. I know you're such a fan of the kind of Tina Fey, Robert Carlock extended
Tina
universe.
Fey's my girl. You'll never make me hate her. Sorry, haters. Sorry.
They're trying.
I don't care. Tina Fey is my girl. She's mean because it makes you stronger.
Thank you.
And I don't condone the racism parts, actually. That stuff, but she is growing as
a
person.
Learning and growing.
And it has gotten better. So.
Yes. Okay. And there you go.
That's my
very,
girl.
That's very, very kind and thoughtful of you. And you know, and I think obviously like much has been made of this. I am not the guy to talk about it. I'm not the guy to talk about it, but, you know, 30 Rock has some dodgy stuff in it. If you go back, obviously it's one of the funniest shows ever.
I want to say, put the blackface episodes back up. That's my hot take. The 30 Rock blackface episodes back up. And if you won't, I will. I have them on a hard drive, baby.
Wow.
They came out when I was in college and still legally downloading TV. I rewatched them because I realized you couldn't watch them online. They're fun. Look, it makes sense within the context. And it's not as though the show is condoning it.
No.
It just got flattened into like a vacuum of conversation. Put it back.
Yeah, for sure.
Both their live episodes had blackface.
I remember that. Wild. And there were a lot of them. They were like, we took down 5 episodes. I'm like, wow, you guys like, went to this well a lot.
Yeah, I was just like, I really didn't realize it was that much. And then rewatching, I was like, okay, it was. Yep. Okay.
But yeah, but I think that Girls 5 Eva it seems to be doing a better job with that stuff. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's yeah, it's a little more it's a little more kinder with its comedy targets. God, I love the Busy Phillips, Andrew Reynolds,
yeah.
Christian pop couple they're so much.
Yeah,
so
their
funny.
Entire dynamic is my favorite thing in the show. I love Andrew Reynolds. If he could sing
he's
at my
hysterical.
Wedding, my funeral, anything, I yes. would. Please. I love
yes, hopefully
him.
He outlives us all and we'll sing at our funeral.
Every single
cannot
one.
Cannot die.
No, no. He's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. He's hysterical in it. I love that, you know, early aughts hair they give him. Yeah, it's a great show. It's going to Netflix, so it's good that more people will see it. But it kind of feels
yeah.
like when your favorite band sells out, doesn't it? Like,
it does, and I'm also
Green Day's playing Dodger Stadium.
Dodger Stadium, yeah. When they were on the little, when they were just, you know, doing little indie clubs and basements,
thank
man.
You. Thank you. That's when they were real.
And it's a little scary because this kind of shift has not always been successful. We've seen shows leave a platform, go to another one, and they get one season and then
right.
it's lights out.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, I know that's not happening with Girls 5 Eva. I'm going to have more faith in that.
Me too. Yeah, I think it's going to go well. And I think obviously those like, you know, like 30 Rock has had such staying power. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt has had such staying power. Yeah. I think people love that like joke dense Tina Fey comedy.
Comedies with jokes. That's what the people want. Who would have guessed?
No, God forbid.
God forbid God a comedy forbid have jokes in it.
Our comedies wouldn't just be meditations on generational trauma.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Capella University is rethinking higher education. With their game-changing FlexPath format, you can earn your degree on your schedule, so you can fit education seamlessly into your life. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
I'm going to go with a good one. I was going to maybe a wild card, but I'm going to go with the good choice. The best reality competitive show ever made, The Traitors.
Ooh, okay.
It is, Peacock, you have something beautiful on your hands. And I know Peacock didn't create the show. It was originally England, whatever. I don't care. You nerds probably know. But they got...
Yeah, you assholes love to watch British TV and talk
you
about
guys,
the
yeah,
American
you guys are watching
version. Is
European
good.
Stuff and the kid Australian version. You guys yeah. know. But it's... basically Alan Cumming's like in a Scottish castle where these celebrities right. are playing a game that is basically a mafia where someone's a murderer. Three people are traitors. They have to figure out who the traitors are. The traitors are killing the faithfuls. And then the faithfuls also like vote to banish people they think might be traitors. And this season, baby, season two, they are getting it wrong. They are just getting it wrong all the time. The show is beautiful because it's like you see people just grasping at straws. Like they're like, oh, this person breathed funny. They must be the traitor. Like I've found them out. But this season they went all celebrity. It used to be like a mix of celebrities and regular people.
Right.
So that kept some of it grounded. No, this season it's all celebrities from different types of reality shows. You have Real Housewives. You have Bachelors. You have Love Island people. You have Kevin from Bling Empire, and they're all mashed together, and they don't know how to react. Like, their brains are scrambled in this new hierarchy. The housewives right. are like, what do you mean I am in a house with someone who was on Survivor and slept in mud? Like, they can't conceptualize each other.
Why is no one throwing champagne at me?
Yeah, and it is just the best version of the show I've ever watched. they also, I think, just went, we got to get dumber reality celebs, because Kevin from Bling Empire, on that show, he is a beautiful himbo. He is there to be gorgeous, to say, you know, lovely, polite things, and not to ask too many questions. You know, he's not that he's not that guy. But on The Traitors, where you're supposed to be like strategizing, he just one of the worst players to ever do the game. Every guess he has been so wildly wrong. And also, as a viewer, you know who the traitors are. So you know who the fun of the watching is, just being like, these people are so wrong. They're all ganging up on the one person who's right, and just the vindication. It's it feels so good. It is what I look forward to most every week. I just, Thursdays are my safe zone. Thursdays at 6 p.m. Western time is when there's new episodes of Traitors, and I'm like, everything is okay in the world. But the comedy is just off the charts this season. You have Kevin getting lost in the woods. You have the housewives just
love,
like,
it when a himbo gets lost in the woods,
right? And he has to make bird sounds, and he's just like, I'm beautiful, I don't know, I'm sorry, guys. It's my favorite reality show. And people, I don't really watch a lot of the competitive ones, but they got Big Brother people. And then, that's part of I'm so pumped on this. That's part of the fun, too, is that these, like, gaming people from Survivor and Big Brother are like, we're smarter than everyone else here. They're like, we're smarter than these stupid housewives. We are winning this. We got this. And then you proceed to watch them lose horribly, because the only way to win at the Traitors is by being, the most popular kid in the world. You have to, like, you can't be strategic. You literally just have to play a game of popularity to win. And they can't understand that. They're all just like, but my strategy makes sense. And everyone's like, yeah, but you're an asshole. And like, I just don't really want to eat with breakfast with you anymore.
Just be cool and make everyone margaritas.
Yeah. And then we'll all be like, win. Yeah. And then they'll be like, no way she's a traitor. She made us all margaritas all the time.
Look at these
margaritas. What? No way.
I checked out two episodes of this because you've talked about it. A lot of my other favorite TV people have been talking about it. Good stuff and bad stuff for me. Good stuff. Okay. Alan Cumming, of course. Oh, yeah. He's a genius. The man can pronounce the word murder, can he?
Murder.
Ugh.
Someone's getting murdered.
The vibe is insane. It's very Saltburn-y. I feel like people should start fucking graves.
Yes.
I'm like, why don't they drink Alan Cumming's bathwater? It has to happen. I like all that stuff. I will admit I am having a little bit of a hard time finding like a contestant to be into. I don't watch these other reality shows. Some of the people seem cool. I like it that there's someone named Johnny Bananas. That appeals to me. But yeah, I haven't quite found anybody other than Alan Cumming to root for. So it hasn't quite hooked me yet, but I know people love it. And it's the closest thing Peacock has to a hit, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like one of their biggest debuts and stuff. I think the joy comes when you choose a side. Like, it's hard to find an individual person to root for. But at a certain point, you're either like, the traitors are so, or the faithfuls are so stupid, I cannot root for them anymore. I'm on the side of the traitors. Let's go full evil, baby. Like, full villain. Or you're like, okay, the traitors are so annoying that I will go with the faithfuls and like hope they figure it out.
Okay.
And once you pick a side, then it's kind of like, okay, I enjoy watching this. Or if you really like some of the personalities. So personally, they brought back Kate Chastain from Below Deck, who listeners, you know, is my goddess, my leader, my captain, my captain. I would follow Kate to the ends of the earth. She was like the surprise guest who came back this season. So now I'm fully in. Like, if Kate is there, I am watching. But I was a little like, is this season even going to be good without Kate? And they knew it wouldn't be. And they brought my girl back.
I do like that they've made a game show out of the game you play at the drama club cast.
Yeah. Party. Oh, absolutely.
Like, it seems like they should all go to Denny's afterwards and sing annoying songs from Rent.
Absolutely.
And, like, not buy anything.
You're roasting me hard right now. You're calling me out.
Listen, this is me. It me. I'm Matt.
That's 100% the vibe. It's just a bunch of people who are like, and then I had to like act like I didn't know who was going to be dead in the morning. And it's like,
right. Yeah, I know. And it's kind of like when you do play those games in drama club, the aesthetic is how you see it in your head. It's like how a dopey 14-year-old who's had too much Mountain Dew thinks of themselves.
Yeah.
And it's in this giant castle, you know, taking seductive bites of apples and mugging into the camera. it is an aesthetic triumph and really, really cool. I think there's a world where I get more into the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give it a shot. And okay. If you don't like the celebrities, then you can watch like the Australian and UK versions or whatever. They're okay. Just normal people. So
okay. Cool.
But in America, when they tried to mix the more normal people and celebrities, it was just kind of sad. It was like, I don't want to see some like teacher who needs money lose millions to a housewife.
Right.
It was just kind of sad. So
okay, I get that.
The Traitors, that's on my list. You got anything else? What else?
I got one more. This is a little bit more of a chaotic pick, but I really want to stump for it. Twisted Metal.
Ooh.
Twisted Metal, a video game adaptation adaptation of a video game from the 90s, a PlayStation classic whose aesthetic I would describe as Juggalo core. It is a apocalyptic car battling show. Some folks in our kind of zone worked on it. Iffy Nwadiwe on the writing staff. Mike Mitchell in the cast. Great job by both of them. Jason Mantzoukas, very funny in that show.
Friend of
Pod legend Jason Mantzoukas. Yeah, his little bottle episode is really terrific.
Yeah.
It's an apocalyptic show about cars that shoot missiles. Should not work. It really, really works well. Really cool. It's pretty over the top. Anthony Mackie and Stephanie Beatrice in the leads.
Oh, so good. I love Stephanie Beatrice. So she's great good in this. And this was another one that came out during the strike and people just couldn't really talk about it. I remember because I was walking somewhere and they were doing like a live event pop-up for the show and giving out free t-shirts and stuff. And they like tried to give me one and I was just like, no, I cannot. I'm sorry. I cannot.
I'm a scab.
No.
I will not wear your free t-shirt.
No free t-shirts. No, I don't want any soda. No. And I stood by my union unions. Brothers and sisters and
of course, you must.
My union siblings. And I said no to that free t-shirt. But I loved it, and I don't know. I think there was just so much that came out around that time. It just kind of got lost in the zeitgeist. But I thought, you know, that's a big title. People were excited for it.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely like, you know, part of the trend of like video game adaptations that kind of work. Because, you know, I think we grew up and you had the Super Mario movie with Bob Hoskins Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And those didn't work for you.
I have not revisited them, but I suspect they were bad.
Yeah. I had a friend, we would like every Halloween, we would rewatch the Super Mario Brothers because it's just funny and bad.
It's a big swing.
I respect the swing.
You have to respect the swing. I think that, you know, we've gotten some really good video game adaptations over the years. And I think this show really, like, understands what's fun about the game. Like, it's crazy. It's over the top. Insane characters. Lots of cool car stunts. And it really does a good job of, like, you know, grafting a story onto a game that maybe doesn't have a ton of story, although there are weird lore people on YouTube who will explain it for you. But, you know, I think most people just plugged in the controller and shot missiles. It does a nice job kind of grafting a story. A little pathos. You really care about Anthony Mackie and Stephanie Beatrice.
Yeah.
They have fun backstories. And, it's cool. It's trashy. It's really, really funny. And, got some of your comedy favorites given really good performances. I like Twisted Metal. If you're like, I would never watch a murder clown show car missile program
in any other context,
maybe give it a shot. It's a chaotic pick, I know, but one I really liked.
I mean, you know, I think I'm gonna close this out on the most chaotic pick.
Let's hear it.
I wasn't even gonna share this because I didn't know if I should. I thought I should do a respectable choice like Rutherford Falls or something.
Come on,
I'm gonna be real with you guys. Ted, the TV show on Peacock.
This is spicy. I haven't watched it yet. Tell me everything.
Funny as hell, okay? It's funny. It's basically just live action Family Guy, but with Ted as, you know, the...
Sure.
As Brian. And it's funny. I wasn't going to watch this. I'd never even seen the Ted movies. I didn't care. I was like, I'm not into that kind of humor. I like American Dad. But I was like, that's not... you know, no, thank you. Not really for me. Avoided it. And then Twitter just kept being like, Ashley, I swear, there's so many jokes. It's really funny. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. I started watching this. I savored it over three days because I didn't want it to end. And it's also a weird episode order. I think it's only like 7 episodes. And I just was like, I got to break this out. I love it. It's just a good time. It's jokes on jokes on jokes. I think I'm joke starved. It kind of reminds me of the Goldbergs a little bit.
Okay.
Which is a plus for me.
Yeah, Goldbergs is a funny show.
It's funny, okay? So, and it just has that type of sitcom humor, but also obviously with, you know, the Ted stuff you're used to from Seth MacFarlane. But I did not expect to love this show. I roasted it at first. I was like, what do you mean the pilot is like 50 minutes? Like, what? Who could need that much Ted? And then I finished it and was like, I need 15
more
episodes of this.
Give me more Ted.
It just, it works. It's nothing like the movies. And I know that because after I watched the show, I was so invested in the Ted universe. I not only watched the first Ted movie, I watched the second Ted movie. I watched both Ted movies and I didn't like them.
And you think that, wow, that's okay.
that was a waste of my time. And then I like the TV show.
This does seem like the kind of show that there should just be 20 episode seasons of, right?
Exactly.
You should just have Ted and the kid going on a different Ted
adventure
every week.
Every week. Like, what are you doing? Put this on Fox. How is this not making you billions?
Right. Yeah. And it is. I'll say. And it is weird that it's not on Fox because of the Seth MacFarlane of it all. But I guess those were Universal movies. And So here we are on Peacock. There's two things that get me.
Also,
kind of
just want to share if you want to watch both Ted movies. Oddly, only Ted 1 is on Peacock. Ted 2 is on Max.
Weird.
Just a little FYI.
Weird. I am excited about the show for a couple of reasons. One, I think I really respect your identifying it as joke dense. I think this is something we both like, something we both crave, maybe something we feel that comedies don't have enough of these days. So that makes me excited. The trailer for Ted, which I've seen a lot of times because I have the middle Peacock streaming tier where you get all the content but still have some commercials.
I love Peacock so much. I pay for the premium with no ads. I can't stand the traitors with ads. I was like, no, I'm paying.
Give me more. The trailer has a brief shot of the kid shopping for a Sega Genesis, and that is the kind of old nerd I am. I'm just like, gotta see this Sega Genesis episode.
Honestly, and it's one of the funniest episodes.
Is it?
It is so funny, that episode.
I'm gonna do it.
It's good.
I'm watching first episode of Hijacked tonight, and then I'm rolling into the first episode of Ted.
Yeah, I got to give it to Ted.
And a great, great friend of mine and writer was on the staff, Chelsea Davidson, who you can see has a little cameo in the trailer as the lunch lady.
She is super
hilarious and really cool. And
I recognized her in the show. I didn't know she wrote on it.
Yeah, she was on the writing staff. So I think the writing staff has some little cameos. And yeah, she's one of the coolest and funniest.
No wonder it was so good. It truly just so many good jokes. I was not the person who was going to be sold on this, and I was sold. If you love the Ted movies, I don't know, maybe you'll feel differently. But coming in from the movies, from the show side, big fan.
Okay, great. I'm stoked.
Those are our Peacock hits. That's all I think I want to highlight. I'm going to give an honorable mention to Bubkiss by Pete Davidson, just because he tried so hard. He put a lot of work
you
in.
Love effort. You love to see some effort.
He has like everybody in it. Like all the famous people are in it.
Yeah.
Good job, Pete.
Honorable mention from me for the MacGruber show. Big MacGruber fan. That was one where it's like, there's a MacGruber show. Aren't you dopes talking about this?
I still haven't watched it. I'm just like, I'm going to save that for like a vacation week when I'm like, I'm just going to day drink and watch the MacGruber show.
That's how you should do it. You'll be pleased. That is what it's for. Very funny. Peacock.
Peacock, they're killing it.
Peacock. I don't know.
They're killing it over there. And watch Killing It.
And watch Killing It.
Yeah. Jordan, thanks so much for joining me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me.
This was so much fun. Where can the people follow you? You got anything you want to plug?
I do actually. You know what's great? TV. You know what's like a little tiny TV that you read? a graphic novel. I've got a new graphic novel coming out this year. It is available for pre-order now. It is called Youth Group. It is a YA horror comedy with art by the great Bowen McGurdy. It is about a bunch of goofy teenage exorcists. Maybe you'll like it. There's some drama club stuff in there, too.
Oh, then I'm in.
It is, yeah, it's about a bunch of kids in this goofy Bible study who actually have to fight demons and are pretty unequipped to do so. Yeah, it is it is coming out in July, but you can pre-order it now. You can do that on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, better yet, your local indie bookstore, Youth Group. It's, yeah. I'm really stoked about it. Bowen, the artist, is a real genius. Their characters are like super expressive. They've got a little bit of an anime vibe to them. And yeah, I'm super stoked. Joke dense. I hope we packed those.
Oh,
pages
I know
good
you
jokes.
Got the jokes, and this sounds right up my alley. I'm gonna check that out.
Bless you. Yes, and yeah, if it sounds cool, pre-orders really help books. Do I understand
yes.
why? No, I don't. But I am telling folks to pre-order it, and yeah, hopefully they check it out and like it. Youth Group, it's coming soon.
Yeah, that's a story for another time. I was gonna be like, I was a big Youth Group person in high school. That's
oh yeah,
that's a whole thing. That's
okay.
a whole thing. We'll bring
yeah,
it
hopefully,
back.
Yeah, hopefully
we'll
there's some hopefully there's some good cringe for folks who are actually in youth groups. I don't think you have to have been in one to enjoy this book, but
yeah.
I think if you were, you'll identify.
Yeah,
some
also
of the...
a funny episode about youth groups on the season 2 of Clone High, which they secretly dropped last Friday. So if you didn't
Ooh.
Know, season 2 of the Clone High reboot is out. I'm the only person telling you. but yes, youth group. Yeah, we'll talk about it. Yeah, you'll be back. This was
amazing.
So fun.
Yes. Yeah. Next episode. Thank you so much.
Also, I'm going to do a little plug here, which I never really usually do. But you guys, my debut comedy album, Ice Cream Money, it is now available for pre-order. You can
yes.
pre-order it. Go to my website, theashleyray.com, or my link tree. You know where I am on social. Whatever. I'm posting it all over the place all day long. It's an album rollout. Go pre-order it for me. You can get a beautiful vinyl. It's pink. I beg them to make it pink, and it is. and then you get the digital version, which is out March 1st. So I'm going to plug myself. You're going to be hearing me talk about that. But... it's always about the guests, and you were incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was so fun.
This is so fun.
We're getting
and my producer has a peacock sound queued up. So let's see how close we were. Oh.
We nailed it.
We nailed it. What a beautiful note to go out on. We nailed it.
Such a haunting call.
We're real peacock heads.
Yes.
thank you so much for joining me, TV Club. We gave you so much stuff to watch on Peacock. Go check it out. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week with another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Anita Flores, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls, tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream is a total chocolate game changer. We start with unbelievably creamy dark chocolate ice cream. Then we add different chocolate treats, like chocolate cookies, chocolate cake, or chocolate brownies, to make four decadent chocolate flavors. Because sometimes the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream. Extraordinary dairy.